The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did Jesus homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Get a little smile on my face. I love this one. Does it trouble you? Maybe? No? Caroline told me she was sleepy before, so is that the case for all of us? I've got to wake up. Does it trouble you, the way that Jesus treats this woman? Basically calls her a dog, right? So, I mean, if you're okay with that, I don't have to preach. I'll go back. There's a lot going on in this passage, and I think I'm going to take, a more personal or subjective approach to the passage, kind of try to focus on the woman here a little bit. If you want the more, say, theologically extended version, you can go back and listen to my podcast from one of the other two masses that I preached this weekend. Here, I want to get into what's going on here with the woman, okay? So, we can see ourselves in her position. I think it's easy enough. Her daughter is sick, and she comes to Jesus as the cure. So she must have had some encounter with him in order to bring herself even to that point. And we can think of how easily perhaps we would be turned away, even for the things that we care about, right? Even though we know, yeah, if I could just get that, then everything's going to be good. And here, right, how much does this woman have to overcome? Right, not even Jesus is, he's ignoring her. That's the start. Jesus is ignoring her. And then from there, the apostles, right? We love them. The apostles, yeah, great, great men, right? Get rid of her, right? Can we get rid of her? She's really annoying us, right? And then more. She comes again and again and again and again and again. She's persevering because she knows that the answer is there in front of her. So why does Jesus reject her entreaties? Why does Jesus turn her away? And I would say, for one reason, faith. The second part of that reason, the main part that we might want to look at, is idolatry. Okay, so this will be tough. For this woman, it seems as though, if we can read just behind the scene, it seems as though this child of hers, this daughter of hers, is the very center of her existence. This daughter of hers means everything to her. And we see, right, she's willing to do anything for her daughter. She's a little bit off. This is tough, right, for us, because we invest so much in our children. But has she put her child in her proper, rightful place? As good as it is, right, to love your children and to want to do anything for them, you would do anything for them, right? For their best interest, you would do absolutely anything. But has her child here taken the place that belongs to God alone. I think it's perhaps the only way, right? There's a little bit of speculation there. But it's the only way I think we can understand Jesus' refusal to acknowledge her, his refusal at first to grant what she wishes. Why? Because she comes to Jesus to use God for her own plan. And that's not the way God works. It's not the way he works. And what happens in the course of the story here, in her interaction with Jesus, is he brings out of her, coaxes out of her, or say gives her the opportunity to come to faith, to entrust herself and her cause and her daughter to God. And from there, all manner of blessings can flow. But before she gets there, she doesn't have God. Okay, so I could ask another question, right? What, besides the whether or not you're awake one, okay? I could ask another question here. What is the best thing? What is the best thing that this woman walks away with? Okay, we read the end, right? Her daughter was healed from that hour. And yet that's only the second best thing she walks away with. The best thing she walks away with is living faith. She's entrusted herself whole and entire to the God she has met in Jesus. My friends, this is the answer for all of our troubles. We don't even need children possessed by demons in order to come to this faith, right? Anything on our hearts, any care and concern that we have, we bring with us here to turn over to God through and with and in Jesus. And as we do so, we find ourselves freed to live lives of great meaning and purpose, freed to be happy and joyful and peaceful people, free, by the way, to go back into the lives of those people that we entrust to God with the wherewithal to operate with them to bring God's peace and his love and his joy to them. A peace and love and joy that we can't bring to them of our own accord or by our own plans. Okay, so that's the, say, personal, subjective part. Because even though there's a story here about God choosing Israel to bless them so that through them the world might be blessed, and this woman's impatience that brings forth for her the plan of God that was always to bring restoration and life to all of creation, so too with us here, he has chosen us for himself. And he's chosen us for himself not just so that we can sit here and be happy with ourselves and, hey, look, we're on the right team, you know, look at us, we're better than everybody. That's not the kind of choosing that God does. When God chooses a people and gives himself to them, he allows them, he enables them to become like him, and he is the God who gives himself away. And so we become, precisely because we are his chosen people, we are chosen for mission. We're called and set apart to receive the love and life of God so that we can go forth and bring his love and life to a world that so desperately needs it. And my friends, our world clearly needs the love of God. The world is clearly in need of, and not just people, you know, wherever in the South or across the country or over in Europe, right, where all these crazy things going on day by day. But also the people you live in the same house with and the people you live next door to and the people you're sitting next to in the pew and in this church right now. We need the love and mercy. We need the forgiveness of God. We need the grace of God to inspire us now so that we can show the entire world that his love and his mercy, his life of peace and joy is for all. Though we do that in that act of faith, just like this woman. So yes, beg God for whatever it is you need, but entrust yourself and your cause to him. He's going to sort it out. It's his plan. It's his will. If it's not, we wouldn't want it anyway. It's his plan. Allow him to receive. Give yourself over to him. All your dreams, all your cares and concerns, place on this altar now with him, that we might receive again through Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, life for ourselves, that we can again inspire the world.